If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Jonah in the Old Testament, right after Obadiah. Jonah chapter 1. And let's stand in honor of reading God's Word. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Amen. And the Word says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down unto it, to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning, and again, we praise you, we honor you. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house. God, again, I pray for those that are sick this morning, Lord God. Just ask you to touch their bodies, Lord God, to heal them, but your will be done. Pray, God, for those that are here this morning, Lord God. And Father, how I wish that we had the crowd of last week, but that's okay, Lord. Your people come, and God, you say that it's just two or three together, Lord God, that we can praise you. And Lord, we thank you for what you've done in this church and what you're doing. I pray, God, for all those little children next door, God, and pray that your word would penetrate their little hearts, Lord God, and God, give them a foundation that they need to face life, Lord. And Father, I pray for one here that doesn't know you, that they would find their way to you today, God, and I pray that as I answer your calls to preach the gospel, Lord God, I thank you for those men that are willing to pray over me, Lord God, before I get up here. And Lord, cleanse me, Lord, of all unrighteousness, Lord God. And Lord, just put your word into my heart, God, for your glory and not for mine. In your name we pray. Amen. Everybody knows the story of Jonah from the time we was in Sunday school way back. And how Jonah was a man that was called by the Lord, but he decided that he would run from the Lord. And I want to talk about that this morning because there's a lot and lots and lots of people in this world, and most of them are sitting in church houses this morning. And I'm not necessarily talking to the sinner this morning. The Lord is talking to us about you and I and what we're doing for him. You see, Jonah, in the very first of this scripture says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah." Let's stop right there. How many of you are sitting here this morning that the word of the Lord came to you 6 months ago, yesterday, and you have done nothing? You're satisfied with what you got, with your salvation, and you just don't want to be burdened with the weight of the world. You want to do what it is that you want to do. How many of y'all have had that call on your heart? I bet there's a whole bunch of you out there. A whole bunch. I think about, the Lord gave me this verse yesterday sometime, and I was reading it, and then I read it again this morning, and I went to Jeremiah, and then he brought me back here. But anyway, I was driving down the road thinking this morning. A long time ago, when I was working for a company in Indiana before I surrendered full-time preach, we went to a prison on a island out in Chicago, and they flew us in a helicopter. And as we were flying over Chicago, I remember seeing all those apartment complexes and things, and now they're down here. There's apartment complexes, townhouse, whatever you want to call it, everywhere. And I got to thinking about all those people down there in those houses. A lot of them worked all day, every day, and they come home and they go into their house. A lot of them is just apartment buildings. A lot of them are just single dwellings. But they go into their house. They got their TV. They got their food. They got their telephone. They got the internet. They got everything that they want. And they go in that house and try to be happy with what they have got on this earth, and then there's a burden in their heart for something, and that burden, if you're in that situation this morning, is a burden for God. You see, he calls on us, and he wants us to go to work for Him. He wants us to do things for Him. And so many times, you and I say, no, Lord. And just think about the times in your life, if you're a Christian this morning, that you have obeyed that voice of God, and by obeying it, God got blessed, you got blessed, and somebody else got blessed. It's no, you know, we talk about Jonah, we think Jonah's really messed up. But you know what? It don't make any difference what God asked you to do. If God asked you to pick up the telephone in the morning and call and check on somebody that's sick, and you don't do it, you're no different from Jonah. You're running from the word of the Lord. See, God said, and you know, all throughout the Bible, this is used, the word of the God came to Jonah. It came to Jonah. And God gave him something to do. And Jonah turned and went the other way. And we'll get into that in a little bit. But I just wonder how many of us are sitting there this morning. God may have told you to sing. God may have told you to join the choir that we'll get going. God may have told you to teach Sunday school. God may have called you to preach, you know. God may want you to be the next preacher of Oakhurst Full Gospel Church. Who knows? But as long as you're running, God cannot bless you and you are disobeying God. If God tells you to do something, do it. Now, when you get to heaven, find Jonah and talk to him and ask him. He'll tell you. He will tell you, because we'll talk about him too. But he will tell you, yeah, if God tells you to do something, you better do it. God may have told you to do something this morning, and it just seems like, and you haven't done it, but it may seem like your whole world is falling apart. I've heard people say, what else can happen? You know, what else can happen? I was at a baseball tournament yesterday, and last year about this time, there's a guy that coaches on my son's baseball team. His wife is 37 years old. We had her on our prayer list. She had a heart condition that she didn't know she had, and one day, bam, she fell out, and her son gave her mouth-to-mouth and kept her alive till the ambulance got there. They took her to Herman Hospital in Houston, and she was in a coma for 5 weeks, didn't know nothing. And we prayed for her, and there she was yesterday. Her and her husband and all of her kids. I said, thank God for that. But you know what? I wanted to ask her, and I didn't. Well, I told her we prayed for her, and she thanked me for our prayers and everything. But I wanted to ask you, what has God called you to do? You were sitting here, and I told my son yesterday, I told him how blessed she was, and I said, you know, you didn't have a heart attack and go stay in intensive care and unconscious for 6 weeks, but you had the coronavirus and you just about died. We're all blessed to be here this morning. But if God tells you to do something, God means do it. Do it then. Are you fleeing from God? Look at what it says. Verse 2. Arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against their wickedness. God will tell you exactly what He wants you to do. God's not going to give you a riddle to try to solve. He is going to tell you, you go do this, and if you go and do this, I will be there waiting on you. And all you got to do is go. That's all you got to do. People say, I can't sing. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can never stand in front of a bunch of people and teach a Sunday school class. I can't witness to people. You can't, because you're not obeying God. If you obey God, He will tell you what to do. He will already do it. I can't understand the Bible. Ask God to give you understanding. Ask God to give you knowledge. Go to God. We're living for Him, not for this world that we live in. Jonah said, he said, arise. Not only arise, but you go to Nineveh, and when you get there, you tell them about me. Tell them about me. And that is exactly what you and I, as Christian men and women, teenagers, adults, we need to be telling this lost world that we live in about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they don't know. And the reason they don't know is because of the Lord, because we don't answer. So he says, arise, go to Nineveh. And he says, for their wickedness has come upon them. What did Jonah do? Jonah said, Jonah rose and flew to Tarsus. For the presence of the Lord, he went down to Joppa and found a ship in Tarsus. So he wanted to go to Tarsus. And what does he do? Tarsus, if you take in our, in just to put in focus of today, it's like Miami, it's like Honolulu, Florida, it's like San Diego, California. It's a place on the seashore that's beautiful. And old Jonah thought, well, I know the Lord wants me to do that, but, you know, I'm okay with God because I'm saved. I know that I'm saved, and if he comes, I'm going to heaven. So I'm going to go do what I want to do. I'm going to go down there to the beach, and I'm going to lay in the sun for a couple of weeks, and I'm just going to go here, and God can send somebody else to Nineveh and tell them about him. But do you know what? I've heard people say, God's will be done, and his will be done. But let me tell you something. When he asks you individually to do something, that is what he wants you to do. He may call somebody else to do the same thing, but he may not use them in the way that he used you. To jump way ahead in a story, one of the greatest revivals that is recorded in the history of man happened in Nineveh when Jonah finally went. 650,000 people, it is said, scholars say, was saved because Jonah decided to do what God said. You see, God will ask you to do something, and God knows what he wants you to do, and all he's looking for, I think about the Marine Corps, he's looking for a few good men and women that will go do it. You don't have to worry about you don't have to worry about training for it. You don't have to worry about nothing. You just go. In the Baptist church, this is crazy. It's in the Baptist church when you decide to be a missionary, you just go and you go to the, you got to go before the it's a committee that's in each division of the Baptist church. You got to go before them and tell them why you want to go and be a missionary. And if they approve you to go, let's think about this. Ain't nobody got to approve me to do what God wants me to do. But they got to approve you. Then you got to go to college at the seminary up here in Fort Worth or Dallas Seminary or wherever and you have to learn the language of that country good enough as good as they do. And then if you pass all the credentials and all the things you do, you get to go do what God wants you to do. And we wonder, what's wrong with formal religion? God asks you, if God asks you to do something, he don't mean tomorrow. He don't mean yesterday. He mean right this second. He don't mean 8 months from now. He wants you to do it right now. He knows the result. Amen. He knows what the results of it's going to be. And we can't wait on people. You know, somebody, it's crazy. I'll give you a perfect example of this. My sister sits back on the back. We had a cousin named Kenneth Wayne Eels, who was our first cousin. He got a doctor's degree from Southwestern Seminary. He is pastoring a big church in East Texas. I can't name it, Hempel. He is pastoring this big church. He had been pastoring it for 16 or 17 years. And all of a sudden, one Sunday night after church, he was praying, him and his wife, and the Lord called him to go to Africa. He was ready to go right then. He went, but he had to go through all that process. And because I believe and always will believe, it's a true story of Jonah. God called him to go. He wanted to go, but he went through what he had to do for the church, and then he went. And when he went, his wife got beat up over her and broke her arm. His mama died. All kind of things happened. And then he decided, maybe I'm not supposed to be here. So he comes back to the United States. And to make a long story short, his ministry didn't amount to nothing after that. You see, verse 2, arise, go. Not tomorrow, not when you feel like it. I want to, you know, God said, arise, go. Well, God tells me, call Brother Wayne. This is an example this week. I was sitting there studying. I came in. I've been gone all day. And I've been all over Oakhurst and Point Blank and Stephen Creek and all over the place. But anyway, I come home. I sat down in the chair. Got me a coat. Fixed to turn on the news. God said, go see Wayne. And why, God? Why? Go see Wayne. I got up and told John, she was fixed. I said, I got to go see Wayne. Why? Because God says so. And that's one of the times that I've done what he asked me to do. I've said no a lot of times. But because I went, I went over there, and this therapist was there, and he had this bicycle thing that you put on the floor with pedals. And when the therapist left, he carried it with him. And I said, Wayne, you want one of the things? I just put one in the garage I have with my knees. He said, yeah. And I went home and got it and took it back to him. And it has helped him. The other day when I saw him, he felt a whole lot better. It could be something as simple as a loaf of bread feeding somebody. When God asks you to do it, do it. We don't understand. Like Charlie said, he knows the end result. He knows what's going to happen. He knew what he wants. Not only is he testing you, he is seeing if you'll do what he wants you to do, and then he's going to show you every time good is going to come from whatever that situation is. But Jonah, hard-headed. He wanted to go to Miami instead of Nineveh. He wanted to go lay on the sand and drink Corona with them little limes on them and stuff. But that's not what God had in mind. Jonah disobeyed God. In verse 3 again, it says, but Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down to it to go with them to Tarshish to flee from the presence of God. To get away from it. I want to get away from what God wants. Again, like I said, he's saved. He knows God. He's a religious man. And he don't need to do all that. So I'm just going to go do what I want to do. And that was his attitude. Verse 4 starts out with a simple thing. But. If you don't do what God says, but. What is he going to do to you? You see, we serve a God that loves us and wants to use us. Jesus Christ died. He walked among people on earth. He went to heaven and he's going to return someday. But in his absence, he tells us what to do. We are his arms and his legs. We are everything that he has. We are the ones that are supposed to reach people for him. And so when he asks you to do something, I would recommend you to do it because I ain't going into it, I promise you. But it's just like my earthly father. When he told us to do something, if we didn't do it, we were sorry. To put it like that. Jonah was told to do something. He didn't do it. But the Lord sent a great wind on the sea. And there was a mighty tempest on the sea so that the ship was about to be broken up. A storm comes. God will send a storm in your life. I'm telling you, God says, I don't have anything to do with bad. But if you disobey God, you see what you do. God has, I believe with all my heart, every one of us got angels around us. We got the Lord around us, and he protects us, and he guides us. But when we say no to God, how do you feel when you tell, you just say you love somebody, you've helped them, you've helped nurture them. You've done everything. And you ask them to do one little thing. I ain't got time. How do you feel? How do you think God feels? God felt real bad, and God decided, hey, I'm going to show this boy something. He did. A storm came into his life. And verse 5 says, then the mariners were afraid. All the men on the ship were afraid. And every man cried out to his God. And they threw... I'm going to stop right there. I got to stop. The Lord stopped me right there. Isn't it funny? Now, this ain't Jonah crying yet. Jonah's on this ship with all these men. And he's down there in the bottom of the ship asleep. And this great storm comes up. And what happens? It says about, then the mariners were afraid. They were afraid. The men that maybe like us were on this old gospel ship. And we're going across the sea. And the sea gets rough. And all of a sudden you hadn't prayed in 9 years. Or you hadn't prayed that something happens in your life. The men on the boat prayed. When something happens, we pray. Why? Because God puts into our heart a void, and the only thing that can fill that void is the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you're a sinner or a believer, God loves you, and He wants you to come to heaven, and He's going to do everything that He can do to get you to come to heaven. But if you say no, He can't help you. The mariners were afraid. And you notice this? Every man cried out to his God. Lord, how mercy does that describe America today? There's people praying all over this country this morning in all kind of different ways. You let something happen tomorrow. You let another 9/11. You let a Persian Gulf War, any of them, you let something catastrophic happen, and everybody's going to pray. Everybody's going to get together. Everybody's going to come to church. And just as soon as the storm ceases, we're going to go on doing just what we've always done. We happy. We got our things. The things on this earth are going to perish. The things on this earth, you're not going to take it with you. The most important thing, the most important and productive thing that you can do in your life is claim the Lord Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and do what He says. A famous, famous author and English professor, Webster, that wrote the Webster's Dictionary. I can't even think of his first name. Webster. Daniel Webster. You know what he told a conference at a college, one of these, I think about my old country comedian, Jerry Clower, when I think about this. And he had stood up in the back of his class and asked him, you know. But he asked Webster, he said, Mr. Webster, what is the greatest thing, words that ever crossed your mind? And he said, that every man is accountable for every action through the Lord Jesus Christ. And needs to make Jesus Christ his Lord and Savior. That is the most important thing you can do. We don't need to run from Jesus Christ. We don't need to just pray when something happens. We need to open every day with prayer. We need to walk in prayer. We need to pray at night. The mariners prayed. And then it's funny, verse 5 again says, then the mariners were afraid. And every man cried out to his God, and they threw the cargo that they were in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. Hey, you see what they were doing? You may have a problem in your life. It may be financial. It may be at your work. It may be whatever it might be. You see what these guys did? It said they even threw their cargo. People, when you get in a bind with God, you want to throw everything away. You want to get right. That's what we do. We'll throw everything away. We'll get right with the Lord. We'll do everything just to please the Lord. And the thing about it is, when the Lord answers a question, we walk off from Him. You need to turn from God. You need to give it to God. You need to give Him your life and everything in your life. These people, were on this ship and they saw that it was happening, that the wind was blowing, as the waves were crashing over the ship and it was going to sink. They didn't know what God to pray to, but they just prayed to a God. That's what the word says. It says, every man cried out to his God. Please help us. There's only one God, people. There's only one God can help you, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 6 says, so the captain came to... Let me finish verse 5. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship and laid down and was fast asleep. Old Jonah thought, well, God asked me to do this, but I'm in charge of my life. I'm doing what I want to do, and so I'm just going to go down the bottom of the ship and go to sleep. Well, didn't work. The seas were rolling, the storm had came, and the word says what? That, but Jonah had gone down and fell fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. Think about that for a minute now. Jonah's down there asleep. These people know that he is a man of God. And they say, we have prayed our God. Man, the world is praying to their gods this morning. To Buddha, Muhammad, to whatever it might be. There's all kinds of gods, people. But there's only one true God. And this guy, this captain of the ship, realized that their God was not going to do it, that the storm was still rolling, that they had to have something to you know, this cancer is ravishing my body, this heart problem, this weight problems, alcohol problem, whatever is ravishing my body, and I've done everything that I can do. Now I'm going to cry out to God. And when you cry out to God, you get results. He said, so the captain came to him and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise and go to your God. Perhaps your God will consider so that we may not perish. You're going to face problems and stuff in your life, people. You're going to face situations in your life. Verse 7 says, and they said to one another, come, let us cast lots, that we may know from whose cause this trouble. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, please tell us, from whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? And where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are to you? So he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then he said to him, what shall we do with you, that the sea may calm for us? For the sea was groaning. It was a tremendous storm, treacherous. And he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me. What did Jonah do? He witnessed to a man, the captain come to him and the bottom says, wake up. The storm is coming. The waves are crashing. Who are you? Where do you come from? What do you do? Does people at your workplace, does people know that know you? Does your friends know that you are a Christian? They didn't. They said, you know, he had told them. He finally told them. And he said, I'm a Hebrew. I fear God. I fear the God of heaven. And basically, you know, it said a while ago, they prayed to their own God. He told them, there's only one God, and that God is in heaven. And the only way that this is going to cease is that you throw me overboard. What would God say to you this morning about your shipwreck? About the cargo that you have? What would he say? You might say, I'm going to go get another job. We're going to get out of this financial situation. I'm going to throw these cigarettes down. I ain't smoking another. I'm going to make up with my wife. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You know what you're going to do? You're not going to do nothing until you do what God said do. You can unload all of that trash. You can get rid of your full load. You can work two jobs. You can quit smoking cigarettes. You can throw away whatever it is in your life. But that ain't going to stop until you ask the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. And when you ask the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, He will tell you when it's time to get rid of that junk. And that ship's going to go sailing. Why? Because you gave your life to Jesus. That's why. Do people know you're a Christian? Do people know that you are a child of God? Ask yourself these questions. Well, do you know? Jonah said, cake me, throw me overboard. And they said, no, we can't do that. We can't do that. Says in verse 10 again that the wind was blowing exceedingly. It was storming bad. And when they came to him and they talked to him, and then they said to him, what shall we do for the sea to come? What shall you do in your life for the sin to cease? Give it to God. Then they said to him, will it calm the sea? Verse 12 says, and he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea and it'll come. Nevertheless, the men rowed harder to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more treacherous against them. You see, that's what I just said. Well, you can do everything that you can do, but you cannot, and no other God can get you out of the mess that you're in except the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jonah knew what he had to do. Jonah knew where God had him. Jonah knew that he was fleeing from God, yet he wouldn't win. Verse 14 says, therefore they cried out to the Lord and said, we pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish from the man's life, and do not change us with innocent, do not charge us with, change us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it is, as it pleases you. You see what happened just then? Before the storm is going to cease. You see what happened? Up on the train, it says, wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish. Let us not perish. You see, they were saying, oh Lord, don't let us perish. Don't take it. They were begging. And people, then they were talking to somebody that could help them. I'll tell you a funny story. It's not funny, but back in the old days when I once worked at prison in the 70s, it was bad. It was a real prison. And the wardens took care of the problems and the situations. And one time, I can't repeat what the warden told the old boy, but he was giving him a spanking. And this old boy was hollering, help me, help me, help me. Mama, help me. Daddy, help me. Somebody help me, please. And he said, oh, God, please help me. And the warden stopped and said, now you're talking, somebody can help you. You see, the one that we're disobeying every day, the one that we're running from every day, is the only one that can help us. It isn't stupid to, you know, you can, we got this little old calf at the house with bottle feeding. And when you walk out that back door, he knows where his nourishment's going to come from. When you walk out of this church house, before you walk, make sure that you know who God is. You see, they prayed. Therefore, they cried. Verse 14, they cried out to the Lord. We pray, O Lord, Please do not let us perish from this man's life. And do not charge us with innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleases you. In other words, what did they say? You in control, God. You are in control. And that is the only way that you will ever relinquish your life is to say, Lord, pick up these pieces. Lord, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. And so they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased its raging. They obeyed God. They obeyed God. We mentioned up there a while ago, let me see if I can find this one word the Lord just put in my head. The last one I read, verse 16. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Feared God. We live in a country that does not fear God. We live in a society that does not fear God. You see, these guys finally realized that God was in control, not the God that they served, not whatever it was that they served. And the only way they could get rid of that was to fear God and confess their sins to Him. And I submit to you this morning, the only way that you will ever be free of whatever depresses you, oppresses you, whatever it is that is dragging you down, the ship is going to sink unless you know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Several years ago, when Madam Murray O'Hara, the one that helped get the prayer out of school, she come up, and I don't think they've ever found her yet. And I heard somebody say the other day, well, Madeline's gone. Madeline's not gone. She may be wherever she's at. She may be buried somewhere. She may be still in hiding somewhere, which is doubtful, but let me tell you something. Madeline is going to go before God. One day, when you and I take our last breath, or when the rapture of Jesus Christ comes, we are going to go before God. It says in Hebrews, I quote it 1,000 times a year, it is appointed to man to die, and then you're going to face God. Ain't going to be later on, it's going to be then. And people, the only way that you can ever get rid of all this, sickness, financial burdens, all, you got to give it to God. You got to give it to God. My son was saved from a coronavirus because God has a reason. That young woman I told you about was saved from dying to raise her kids and to be with her husband the rest of her because God had a reason. You got to get rid of all this junk in your life and put God first. And that's a whole other sermon. What can we do? You know, you say, how do I put God first? He put Him first. You do everything that God says do. You do it the way He wants to do it. If you want to buy a new car, you need to make sure God wants to get you a new car. If you're a teenager this morning, the Bible tells us do not be unequally yoked. In other words, if you decide that you want a boyfriend or a girlfriend, you go and you find you one that goes to church. That's what the Bible says. And the Bible says to put God first, seek first Him. When you go out on that first date, the second date, the third date, if it grows into marriage, the first thing you need to do before you get in that car is pray. Yep. That's what God says to do. He said, get rid of all that foolishness. And the good thing about it, you can't get rid of it. You got to give it to God. He gets rid of it. What you got to do? Jesus, I love you. I have messed it up. Just like I said, that's all you got to say. God, I messed it up. The thief on the cross, he didn't say no big, long, recited prayer. Jesus looked at Jesus and said, man, remember us
when you get to paradise. He made a choice. And when he did that, Jesus looked at him and said, this day you live with me in paradise. He didn't say, no, you can't go with me today. You got to go back to church, get baptized, get to hell. You got to do all this. And that. You can't go with me today. He said, believe in me. For God so loved the world, whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Whosoever. God. You got to put him first. And that means everything that you do. In your house notes, your electric notes. You put God first. I'm going to say one more thing. I'm going to shut up. When you get that check on the week, the first of the week, how do I put God first? God tells us what to do with the first fruit. Give it to me. You give that to him, and I promise you, God is my witness. And a bunch of other people in there can. I don't care if it's $5, if it's $10, if you, I go do funerals and stuff. If somebody gives me money for the funeral, I give it to the 10% to the church. Everything that I do. And I'm not saying I'm telling you, if you want to put God first, it starts right there.
Amen.
That is the point that you start at. Because you know what you're doing? You're putting your life in God's hand. It's just like right over there one Sunday morning, 1975, 76. My wife and I, she was working at Piggly Wiggly's, and I was working at the penitentiary making $260 a month. We didn't hardly have enough to buy gas to come to church, and we decided we was going to start tithing. And that plate come around, and she said, you really want to do this? I said, do it. Our lives changed, begin to change right then. I'm not begging for money this morning. Don't get me wrong. God don't need your money. God needs for you to be faithful to him and do what it is that you're supposed to do. In every area of your life, you pray, you read his word, you get in a church that believes in God, you get in a Bible study. We got Sunday school. Brother Charlie's got a class. Brother John's got a class. We got church for the kids. We got Wednesday night Bible study. Where are you at on Wednesday night? We got all these things, and you just need to get involved in it. If you don't, that ship that you keep praying about, Lord, these waves are coming, splashing over the side. The only way you're going to ever keep them from splashing over the side, the only way it's going to ever get calm, give God your life. He may be talking to you this morning. Are you going to run? Or are you going to come? Father, I come to you this morning. Lord, I praise you. I honor you. And God, I love you. And God, I pray that the word that you have spoken through me, Lord, does not fall on deaf ears. Lord, but if anybody in this church, Lord God, you have poured your spirit in their heart and they got that feeling and they know that it's you, what is for salvation, what is to answer a call to preach or sing or teach or witness, whatever it is, God, if they just come down here right now and pray before you. God, if they don't know you, don't know what to say, God, if they just come right here, Lord, we'll tell them. But they must do it in their heart and believe in their heart that you're God and put their life in you. But God, as we stand all over this building, I pray, Lord God, that your spirit would fill this place, God, and you would answer the call, that people would answer the call on their life. In your name we pray. Amen.